All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Rebunked. My name is Scott, coming at you live from Nashville, Tennessee. And I got a fantastic episode for you this evening, and I'm very excited about it. But first, don't go anywhere. Don't hit fast forward. Hang tight. I got some really cool announcements that you guys are going to dig. So hold on. I know you guys and your fast forward button there, but hang tight. So anyway, if you guys tuned in to the show last week, we had the great Mike Winter from Alpha Vedic and the Music and Sky Festival on the show. Great conversation. A lot of you guys have been, thank you for all the cool feedback about that episode. Mike is just such a legend. And, I felt like we had such a fantastic conversation. And of course, we were talking a lot about the Music and Sky Festival happening in Northern California. And in the week since this episode came out, I have committed to going. I am going to Music and Sky, baby. Music and Sky, the great outdoors, Northern California, June 20th through 24th. And I want all of you to come too. All of you are invited to come hang out. Okay, look at this lineup. We got the great Dr. Bear, Paul Lando, Marsha Ann, Mike Winter, of course, Alex Zek, Amanda Vollmer, like all of our favorite terrain people, freedom fighters, Don Lester's coming all the way from the UK. We got Five Times August, just this Deepak, Evan Hatfield, huge lineup of musicians, speakers, vendors. It's just going to be like an incredibly intense and awesome weekend experience. And I want you guys to come. Okay. I want you guys to come hang out if you can. I'm just really excited. And if you guys go to the episode description, you'll see a link at the very top of the episode description. Click that link. And if you buy a ticket through there, that helps support me. That's like a commission or affiliate. It's like an affiliate thing. So I'm going. I want you all to go. And if you do decide to go, click the link at the top of my episode description. And that helps your boy out here, gives him a little credit for the sale and whatnot. But mostly, I just want to see you all there. There's nothing, if you guys have never been to like a Freedom Festival before, it's my favorite thing in the world. I've been to Float Fest. I've been to the Bertaria Festival. We put on a festival in Oregon at the peak of 2021. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all about these festivals, okay? And this one's going to be a doozy. So I want you all to come. Go to musicandsky.com. Well, actually, click the link in the episode description, people, okay? Come on. Click the link in the episode description, and that will take you to musicandsky.com. You can read all about it. You can see all the ins and outs about it. If you have questions, reach out to me. But I'm very excited, and I want to see you guys all there. So, second big announcement. This is huge. You guys ready? I don't know if you're ready for this, but the Unjected Swag Shop is back. The Unjected, so we got official Unjected merch is live. If you go to unjectedswag.com, S-W-A-G, we got some brand new kick-ass designs. We got the Unjected Fade with the Adam logo there. We got the, we're getting a little edgy. Unvaxxed or Hotter with unjected.com on it. And we have, these are men's and women's. I'm just kind of showing the women's right here. We got the, look at this. Unvaxxed is sexy. Look at that. Ladies, come on. We got tank tops. We got hoodies, crop tops. Like, representing, dude. I'm telling you. So, of course, we got men's. We got hoodies as well. We got hats, unvaxxed. Look at this, you guys. How cool is this? You get the classic Unjected hat that I'm wearing right now. You've got the Unvaxxed or Hotter, Unvaxxed is Sexy. The Unvaxxed beanies or Unvaxxed or Hotter, Unvaxxed is Sexy beanies. Or you can get stickers and mugs. Look, you got the mugs too, dude. Look at how sick these mugs are. $20. I think you only get one. I don't know why the picture's showing two, so I might need to get with them on that. That's not like buy two for 20. I think anyway, you get what I'm saying. But look at how freaking badass those are, dude. Represent your community. Show your people that you are proud to be Unjected, and you can get those at unjectedswag.com. Also, I want to show you about, okay, so this is the new search tool that we're developing. Shout out to Sir Deanonymous, the great Sir Deanonymous. For anybody that's a No Agenda listener knows who I'm talking about. Sir Deanonymous and I have been working on developing this Podcax, P-O-D-C-A-X, which is a powerful search tool that will allow you to search for any word in my show. Let's type in Unjected, and you can search and see anytime I've ever mentioned Unjected on my show. Look at this. Look at all these episodes. Boom, 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 boom. Let's just click on one randomly. Let's go to Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to stop. I'm going to redo my share screen here because I have to do it for sound. Let's do that. Okay. Now, so these, I've typed in the word injected. I want to, okay. So this episode with Dr. William Trebbing, it says I've mentioned that word twice. You click here, you go here and look, I click on this and it takes me right to the clip.
California and Maryland has never had it.
Boom.
They haven't had it for a long time.
And it basically takes you right to the spot in the episode where I said that word. And it's a very powerful search tool. So if you ever wondered, hey, what was that episode that you were talking about, that one thing? Well, now you can search for any word or phrase, put the phrases in quotes, and it'll take you right to the clip. And what we're almost done with, I'm told that it should be done by tomorrow, is then if you like this clip, you will be able to export a clip. And you can share it on social media. We've got a built-in caption generator and everything. And pretty soon, this is going to be available, and we're going to be rolling it out to other podcasts, some of your favorite podcasts. I've already expressed interest in this tool. So watch out, because this is going to start being all over the place, this podcast tool. So I'm just really excited. And if you want to test it out, want to be an early adopter of it, go to rebunked.podcast.com to test it out. Okay, almost there, guys. So this is the Substack. Substack is how you stay up to date with the show. It's basically my email list, rebunked.substack.com. That's how you stay up to date. You can see today's episode posted there. Just sign up for free. If you want to do a $5 a month subscription, that's really helpful as well. And then, of course, you have the Rebunked shirt shop. All right. Rebunked.news/shirts. Rebunked.news is the main landing page. If you need links to any of this stuff, just go to Rebunked.news. That's the main landing page, including the affiliates here at the top. Richard Groves Autonomy, TruthTRS.com, Heavy Metal Detox, and the Shirt Shop. So lots of things thrown at you, okay? But these are all just value for value ways that you can support the show if you want to support the show. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I didn't. I guess my screen sharing was all messed up there. But that's okay. Rebunked.news, you guys. Head over there, and it'll give you all the links to everything. So, all right. Thank you for the little bit extra long intro there today. And without further ado, I'm going to bring in a new friend that I made here at our little freedom gathering that I'm always telling you guys about. So if you're not doing little freedom gatherings in your community, it's vital. It's important because you never know. And a few weeks ago, I met Wendy, and she was telling me about what she does. And she's the CEO of LMTD Solar, who is providing solar solutions to people in all different capacities. And we were talking about some of the different like ways that solar is being, it's just crazy stuff. So I'm like, you got to come on the show, tell us about it. So Wendy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I love our little group. If people aren't meeting, they need to find out about it. If they need exactly. to find out about how to meet with like-minded people, there's something so freeing about it, you know?
It's amazing. Well, the group that we met, just to plug it for you guys out there, makeamericansfreeagain.com. It's Dr. Pam Popper, who is she's like a doctor, lawyer. They're doing all kinds. They're suing Big Pharma. They're suing Eco Health Alliance. They're suing all these big, you know, all these institutions. But a big part of what she promotes, and I need to get her on the show, dang it, because it's like, that's my message too, is like, you know, our solution to all of this is to form community, get together in person. And that's what they don't want us to do the most. And so that means that's what we need to do the most. And so she's a big proponent of that and started Make Americans Free Again to really encourage everybody in their own community. So wherever you are, you can probably find a little Make Americans Free Again group near you or start one. That's been my philosophy, is if there isn't one already near you, then it's up to you to start one. So,
and what I love about it is the diversity of the people and the beliefs within it. It's not like everybody thinks the same. There are like all kinds of people from all kinds of directions, with freedom is the core belief.
Yep. Freedom is the core belief. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's what it is. I mean, it all comes down to that, and uncompromising. So, let's talk about solar a little bit. So
my favorite subject.
apparently so. I want to clarify too, before we get too far into it. So I put the website up on here, LMTD Solar. Apparently it's under construction right now. So if you guys go there right now, you will not arrive where you want to be. So Wendy, if people, as we're going through this, if people want to learn more, what's the best way that they can get in touch or learn more about?
They can find me on LinkedIn, and also there's a Facebook page right now. And that's probably the best way. Hopefully it'll be back up and running here. We're just redesigning it and making it more up to date.
Okay, so perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I just expanded to commercial solar just maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And so I'm updating the website to be more aligned with what we offer small businesses now. So okay. That's one of the things I'm excited to share.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So how long have you been doing this?
About 2.5 years. I mainly started with residential. And we're in Tennessee, of course. Tennessee is not a very solar friendly state. And
now, hold on. Now, when you say solar friendly, are you talking about like it's not like it's super cloudy, or is it like government regulation?
It's more utility. And
utility. Okay, tell me about this.
Okay, so we have the Tennessee Valley Authority where we live.
Which we don't like. See, we don't like TVA around here very much.
Well, the thing is, the rates aren't crazy like they are in other states. California rates have gone up like incredible. Texas, 70%. I think California has like 10-15% increases every year, or in sometimes twice a year. So our rates are comparatively pretty low. But here's where it impacts solar is there's something called net metering. Okay. So when we put solar panels on your roof, it's probably going to produce, just depending on the size of your usage in your roof, it's going to produce in most cases, everything you need in about 4 to 5 hours. And so the rest of the day when the sun's shining, all that extra energy is going to where? The utility company, right? So net metering is where the utility company will give you credit for that. So at night, when the sun's not shining and you flip a light switch, you get back a kilowatt for every kilowatt you've given them. So it basically zeroes out in most cases, and you end up not having an electric bill. Well, in Tennessee, they don't do that. The Tennessee Valley Authority doesn't give you very much, if anything. It's basically nothing for anything that you give them. So it takes how that pans out for a residential project. In another state, you could pay for your system in about 4 to 5 years with your savings on your electric bill. In Tennessee, it's like 15 years. And a lot of times your costs will go up. So because you're still paying an electric bill for at night. So it depends if you're home during the day and using most of your electricity during the day, then it could definitely pay for it. But if you're just home at night, then you need to get backup batteries, which is really expensive. So blah, blah, blah. It just, you have to be committed to, you know, being independent where you can have backup batteries. If it's worth the investment to you, I can definitely give you a price on it. Other states, I mean, there's only 4 states in the country that don't have net metering. So, and Tennessee's one of them.
What's that surprising? Because Tennessee is so ahead of the curve on so many other different things. Like, do they just, you know, what's up with that? Do you think it's, like, do you have any explanation for it?
Not really. I mean, the TVA, they do. I mean, they have invested a lot in solar. We have solar farms. There's a really cool thing by MTSU off the freeway right before Memphis off the 40, where they actually have a museum, kind of an educational facility. And they have huge solar farms there that feed the TVA. So it's not like they're against solar, but it's just... having rooftop solar on your home or business gives you energy independence. And that's what we're here to talk about, right? The freedom.
Yeah.
Because most utility companies are for-profit monopolies. You don't have a choice. So rooftop solar is the only thing that gives you independence and actually power over your usage and your utility bill. I mean, there's actually something called the solar lifestyle, where you can learn if your electricity is free during the day, well, then you make minor adjustments. You know, you hit the delay switch on your dishwasher and wash your dishes in the morning instead of, you know, at night after dinner, or you wash your clothes on Saturday afternoon, or, you know, there's things that you can do because rooftop solar gives you free energy. So the difference is, if this makes sense to people, like when you're paying your electric bill, you're buying a product. You're buying kilowatts, right? When you buy solar panels, you're buying the machinery that makes that product, and sunshine's free. Mm-hmm. So actually what it takes to make it is free. You just need the machinery. So once the machinery is paid for, It's free.
Okay. So what's the, so in your, in the time that you've been in it, like what's, do you feel like there's like suppressed technology? Do you feel like there's like a solar panel that's like this big that could power like Las Vegas and they're just like keeping it suppressed? Or is it like, or has the technology, like, is it continuing to advance? Like, are we getting, you know, like what, tell me about that.
There's really cool stuff that's coming. I don't know how long before we see it. I've seen that. I know in Germany, I think it was Germany, it could be remembering that wrong, but there's like a paint that actually has small little solar cells in it. So they're thinking, you know, can you imagine in the future we'll paint our cars with solar cells and then we won't need to stop and recharge. They'll be recharging as we go, or it might not be enough, but at least if it could take care of the air conditioning or something, right? And just reduce the load. So yeah, there's a lot of technology coming down the pike. And it does take something. I mean, there is definitely a pushback from different sources. One from, you know, the gas and oil industry, it feels very threatened by solar. I ran into that a lot in Texas and I was just like, but I appreciate your loyalty to them, but do they pay your electric bill for you? Because, you know, it doesn't have to be either or. I mean, you know, it can be, we can coexist, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's the thing is like, you know, the thing that aggravates me about a lot of these like alternative energy conversations, particularly when it comes to, you know, all the climate change people that are like, you know, in your face and like throwing like Campbell soup on like the Constitution and all that stuff. Like they're like attacking the gas and oil industry. And it's like, you know, I'm right there with them when talking about the fact that they are pretty evil, because if you come up with some sort of alternative energy system, like they'll take you out. Like we have, you know, anecdotal cases of that throughout, you know, the last several decades and stuff like that. But it's also like, I know for a fact, like there's some military out, you know, some deep underground military base where they've got the most advanced, like, all, you know, 0-point energy devices and like all this stuff that they know about it. Like we've got, and one of the things that pisses me off the most, let me see if I can pull this up here. Let me see. This is like, I think I've covered this on the show, but, let's see. So yeah, this one right here. So they have, okay, so it's the idea of the like they tell us that there's no alternative to the energy problem. Like it has to be gas. And then I feel like with solar, like as great as it is, it's like they're only giving you just enough to like they can't have us all be like so radically completely energy independent. You know what right. I mean? Like if we all had like a tiny solar panel that you put it under the sun and it gives you all the energy you need for a year, like I guarantee they have stuff like that in development, but it's right. Like they can't allow us to have that type of power. They can't allow us to have that level of autonomy. You know what I mean?
Well, and the utility companies are huge, huge, powerful lobby. And so for example, in April of last year in California, the utility companies passed, or the government allowed the new policy of NEM 3.0. So before that, they had net metering. They would give you one for one. And we had, you know, a lot of explosive solar going on in California, right? It was, the leader in the country. Well, they took away all the incentive, like all of a sudden it's almost, and they passed a law saying every new home built has to have solar panels on it. Well, the problem with that is the contractors are throwing up a solar panel. It's not designed to eliminate their electric bill. Really, all it's doing is feeding the grid, you know, and no one's getting paid for that energy. So people are getting electric bill and saying solar doesn't work, right? So, but here's the bottom line I wanted to say about that is PG&E raised the rates again 13% last year, and they're raising them again this year, I believe.
And this is, that's PG&E, that's California, right?
That's California. Yeah, they passed the NEM 3 in April, and they posted earnings of $2.2 billion last year. Billion. So how does that have anything to do with doing what's best for the people? You know?
No, you nailed it. And like what you mentioned earlier, it's like, it's really interesting when people think about it as they're private for-profit monopolies. In like most jurisdictions, like that's insane to think about, you know, and they, it's like, you know, supposedly like the SEC or all these stuff, they're all about anti-monopolies. Like they're coming after like Apple for being a monopoly and all this stuff. But it's like these utility companies, they kind of operate with the, kind of the loose kind of facade that they're like public, like government owned.
They're for the people, you know?
They're for the people. Yeah, it's like the Federal Reserve. Like they say, oh yeah, the Federal Reserve is an agency of the federal government, when in fact it's a private for-profit business. You know what I mean? And it's like, but this is really interesting. So this show, like when I first saw, I'm gonna play this. So we were doing research into perpetual motion magnet generators. Like if you could just like, I'm like, if you could just put a bunch of opposing magnets repelling each other around and around in a circle and it just spins and spins forever, then you could just generate energy that way, like a turbine type of deal. I'm like, why wouldn't that work? So anyway, so I saw this video, and this is the guy from Mythbusters, Adam Savage, and he's showing how there is a perpetual motion magnet device that they've created.
A motor, yeah.
Yeah, but watch this. But it's like the only one known in existence, because I guess, you know, a lot of it has like, you know, entropy, and eventually it'll like slow down, and like you can't just have it run and run and run and run forever. But there's this museum or whatever in the UK that discovered the technology, and they have the technology. But listen to what she says about this. This is so fascinating.
Okay.
Can you hear that okay?
Oh, no sound.
No sound. Okay, hold on. Let me try that again.
Well, I'll say while you're fixing that. Yeah. My dad was working on something like that in the 70s. And there was somebody on the Johnny Carson show that had a machine like that. And my dad quit working on it. He says, well, they've already invented it. And what happened to it? But it was on the Johnny Carson show. This guy showed this engine, you know, this motor.
Yeah.
Repelling magnets.
Exactly. So listen to this. It might be this one, but listen to what this lady says. It's so crazy. Okay, hold on.
And I am in the Royal Society in London.
Okay, can you hear that now?
Yes.
In England. And I'm with Virginia. Hello.
Hello.
And you guys have pulled this out. This is a perpetual motion machine, which we all know is impossible. Virginia, can you tell me what's going on?
I can't tell you exactly how it works because it's a secret, which we keep in a sealed envelope. We've been told not to open. So there's only two people who know the mechanism behind how this works, and they work at the University of Nottingham. And they are friends of the creator of the perpetual motion machine.
So he's alive?
No, David Jones.
Okay, so when I watched this for the first time, I was like, oh, that she's being cute and funny. And she's like no, it's top secret and we can't tell you. And I'm like, oh, that's cute. And then I'm like, oh, she's being serious. Oh, they have this technology and they're keeping it top secret. I'm like, if we can just spin and spin and spin a thing around fast enough, we can actually generate energy and we can all be energy independent forever. We could be completely unleash and unslave all of humanity with this creation that you've created. She's like, oh, it's a secret. And I was afraid I can't tell you. And I'm like, oh, so you said there's two professors that work over at whatever, Cambridge. Like, okay, we need their addresses. Like, you guys, get the white van, get the duct tape, get the zip ties. We are going to unslave humanity. I'm like watching this. I'm like, are you serious? Are you freaking dead freaking serious that you're telling me that you have the technology to completely unleash the full potential of the human species? And you're just, oh, it's in an envelope and I'm sorry, we can't tell you. And I'm like, and that's what pisses me off about this whole climate change debate, where it's like, you know, you guys have the technology. Like, they were making cars that ran on water in the 80s, you know what I mean, like hydrogen powered cars, and you killed that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you don't look me in the eyes and tell me that I need to be taxed and I need to be all this stuff and I need to stop eating meat because of the climate, when you have the technology. Don't like, if you guys want to have the conversation, let's have the conversation. But you get until you give me that technology for your perpetual motion machines, you can just shut up. So there's my rant for the day. So
I'm with you. We know that the technology is out there and has been for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of it, you know, whether it's, you know, new fuels or whether it's perpetual motion or, you know, it's there. But what we have now within our reach, we should take advantage.
Exactly. And that's what we're here to talk about. So we, you know, that's the point is that, you know, there are things that we can do, you know, we're not victims here. Okay. So fine.
And just to be clear, it could be a temporary window. Not everybody can go solar. There are states that have, there are utility companies that have shut down solar in their districts, in their areas. And there is, there is clauses in the, you have to get the permission of the utility company to go solar.
That's fascinating. And I think that was one of the main things when we met a few weeks ago, like when you started telling me this, that's what really where I was like, okay, we need to get you on the show. Because on the one hand, you know, all the climate people are like, oh, you know, we have to have solar energy and windmills. And now, but then you're telling me on the other hand, they're making it harder for people to get solar. Like, break that down for me. What's going on with that?
Well, the utility companies, I mean, every time someone gets rooftop solar, they lose a customer, basically. So they, you know, they have written in the contracts that only a certain percentage of the number of customers in their base can go solar, and then they'll start saying no. I think the state of Delaware last year blocked all solar installations. And there's neighborhoods. I know there was people in New Jersey that are on a waiting list that want to go solar, that their neighborhood is blocked, that they can't go solar. And there's different reasons. Some of them are saying like they need a grid upgrade before they can. The thing is that solar does produce a lot of energy to the grid. So they have to be able to handle that. So some old, our grid infrastructure is really old and it has needed to be upgraded for a long time. So I'm hoping that's the excuse of PG&E for the $2.2 billion is that they're going to use that to upgrade the grid. So we'll see, you know, we'll see. But even so, it's like right now, when I first started selling solar, the interest rates, you could get solar for 1.99% on your house for 25 years. Like, those people are golden, especially the ones in California, where that's got to improve the value of their house tremendously, that they, you know, they have no electricity bill, you know. So it's just a matter of taking advantage of it. If you can go solar, you should. Now, I live in a condominium. I can't go solar. Apartments can't go solar. It doesn't make financial sense because of all the different meters. I've been trying to work like, how can we go community solar? How can we do this to try to figure out a way to make it work? And it just hasn't financially been feasible. So I guess I need to listen to my bosses who have been down this road before. I'm just like, I want solar. But yeah. I did see a product. Somebody sent me a product from Europe that is a solar panel that you can, now, don't anybody ask me how to get this, because I did try to inquire in it, and they said that they were backed up in production and they couldn't even get them. But it was a solar panel for your balcony that you can put on your balcony and plug it into your outlet and it would run your meter backwards. And I thought, well, that would be cool. If anybody knows anything about that product, how to get it, where it is, I want to know about it, because I would definitely buy one myself and I would be able to offer it to other people who can't go solar. But anyway, those are future products we were talking about, you know, that are out there that we don't know about, that we don't have available in the United States. That was for Europe. You know?
Interesting. So it could like literally run the meter backwards. Like, you see, like, wow.
Actually, yeah. I mean, that's kind of how solar works.
Yeah.
Solar runs the meter backwards because it's, okay. You know.
Okay, cool. Well, so now you were telling me, and this is what we're joking about before the show. It's like, you know, if we have to have a government, all right. I know a lot of my listeners are very like anarchist libertarian type folks. It's like, okay, if we have to have a government, and for the time that there's a government around, let's take advantage of it. Like, if they got programs and crap that will help us like gain energy independence and energy sovereignty, tell us about some of the options people have as far as that goes.
Okay, yeah. And because Tennessee isn't that solar friendly, and being a solar consultant, it's like I've sold mostly outside of Tennessee for residential. And that's why I was excited to finally connect with and go with a commercial solar broker, because there's all kinds, and the recently passed tax incentives for businesses to go solar. So, for example, we all can get a 30% tax credit for going solar. So tomorrow, if you go solar, you can take 30% of the cost of your project. And I love to tell people, if you need a new roof, It's required to have a good roof for solar. So if you need a new roof, we can go solar and you can count that as part of your project costs. Get 100% financing on it and get 30% back on your taxes for doing that. So everyone gets that. There's also 10% because we use all American made products, the Qcell, which is a huge advance in technology. And if we wanted to talk about that, we could too. And then also if it's in a lower income area, there's another 10% available. So that's 50% possible tax credits. Now you have to be making money to use those tax credits, right? Or it could take you years to recoup that. I mean, you have years, but anyway, for a business, you get that, plus you get accelerated depreciation of the entire project costs. And solar has a special designation, so you could do it in the first year if you want. So that could be huge if the business is making money to not have to pay taxes. You can also do amended tax returns, go back 3 years, take that accelerated depreciation loss back 3 years and get money back, or you can carry it forward 22 years. So that's incredible. Now, if you're a rural business or an agricultural business, that means the definition of agricultural is $1,000 a year in sold products that you've grown, and you can get a 50% USDA REAP grant to pay for your solar on top of all those other things. So there are people putting cash back in their pocket after getting solar, and then they don't have an electric bill. So
interesting. So how many, how many panels are we talking here to run like a normal average size house? Would you say, let's say like a family of like four, again, like a 1300 square foot home or something like that.
It's everything is so unique because it depends on the shading on the roof and the angle of the roof and the where you are in the country. There's all kinds of cool satellite imagery that we use to determine that. It's very, the LIDAR, so we can see exactly how much sun you get based on your, geographical location. So it's very complex. It's not like you can just say, a generic system is going to cost $30,000, or it could be $100,000, and it could be, it depends on the size of the panels too. We have panels that are 300, just to let you know, like this is how much better the panels are. They used to be 100 watts and now they're 380 to 410 watts.
That's amazing. And that's just, the nature of technology itself. Like it's always going to like double every 18 months. Like they say, like the capacity of like a chip is like, it shrinks and the output capacity like doubles almost every 18 months. And so it's like, it kind of follows. What is that? I can't remember. There's like some law or principle as far as that goes. And I imagine solar is the same, where it's like, as time goes on, it just, they figure out ways to innovate and make the cells smaller and smaller and more powerful,
More efficient. Yeah. The Q cells, which are the ones that we manufacture, that are manufactured here in the US, are German designed. South Korea, I think, owns a company, but they've developed something, a coating, so that when the rays come in, they actually get a reflection of it, something like that. And it increases by 17%, the efficiency by 17% just on those panels. So you need 2/3, of what. Anyway, I was just reading on that today. It's fascinating, but that's just one of the technological advances, and there's many more. There's a lot coming down the pike, but the prices have dropped like 90% in the last 5 years. So it's much more affordable now than it's ever been. It's 100% financed. The tax incentives, especially for small businesses where they can actually put money back in their pocket potentially, and definitely with not having an electric bill. So it's like there's really no reason to wait, because again, we have the threat of not being able to at a later date, because they might, somebody told me, I'm going to wait till 25% of the population has solar. And I just laughed. I'm like, you probably won't be able to put panels on your roof by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, and do you know, you know what it is right now? It's about 5% or less. It's like 3%. I think California has 5%, but nationwide, it's still under 5%.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, if you came out with a with a solar cell like this, like I keep saying, like this big gives you fuel this for big. A year. Yeah, exactly. then they would come take you out. Now, I mentioned the guy with the water, and now we're getting to conspiracy land, which we do from time to time on the show. But have you heard about, you remember the Buffalo shooting that was a few years ago at that supermarket? Like the guy actually live streamed it. Like it was horrific. I didn't watch it, but like some guy walked into a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, and he basically just went on a big shooting spree and shot a bunch of people and recorded it, filmed it, streamed it live. So, I mean, you can go find the footage, but one of the victims, one of the people that was shot at the grocery store was working on, and a lot of people think that, I mean, I can't make any claims, but was working on a vehicle that ran on water. Again, another case where somebody who's working on alternative technology died in very, very suspicious deaths. And it's really interesting. I pulled this up here. So this is the PolitiFact Poynter Institute fact check. Aaron Salter Jr. was killed by a mass shooter because he was working on creating a water-powered car engine. False. Now, if you go read it, you know, it talks about now it's true that Salter was working to power vehicles with water, but there's no evidence that made him. So basically they're saying it's false that there's any evidence to suggest that the shooting had anything to do with him, but they're not refuting the fact that he was working on cars that ran on water. You know what I mean? So it's just, and then the shooter was from an hour away. He lived an hour away and he had no reason to be in that neighborhood. There's no reason for him to drive an hour to go to that specific grocery store at that specific time. Unless you're an MK Ultra type of situation. Anyway, but it just blows my mind, you know, back to the thing. It's like, you know, it frustrates me kind of what you were even just saying there, how they're making it difficult for people to put them on the roofs of their damn house. You know, it's like they tell us that we need to focus on all of these alternative energy, alternatives and things. And then when we actually say, okay, great, let's do it. And then we actually put in the effort to do it, and then we actually start to gain some independence, then they're like, oh, wait, hold on. like they put the brakes on. It's like, it's just so frustrated and just diabolical.
It's like, let's all have electric cars. But no, you can't go solar to charge those cars. We want you to pay more. Like the need for electricity is not going down.
Okay, yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we hate TVA around here. Shout out to all of my Ashland City friends. Narissa, I know you tune into the show. Will, Nico, of course, Nanette, one of my good friends, Nanette. Of course, Leslie, one of the most amazing people in the world. Leslie, if you're watching, big shout out. But that's my Ashland City crew, and they're going through this whole thing with TVA right now. I don't know if you know about this. Are you familiar with this?
Uh-uh.
Okay, well, they're trying to build a methane power plant in the city of Ashland City. Have you heard about this whole debacle?
I have not.
No. Okay. Well, it's a huge controversy. If you drive out to Ashland City right now, you'll see all over all the neighborhoods, it says like no TVA in my backyard, no pipelines. Basically, they're like eminent domain, seizing land, building a giant methane gas power plant and running a pipeline, I believe, to Nashville. And I think to Knoxville is what I heard too. So they're running a gas pipeline. And it's basically they're seizing people's land. And then my friends Nanette and Will are literally like within like 1,000 yards of the proposed site. And they have that's their homestead. Like this is where they farm and they raise all their animals and grow all their food. And they're literally just like kicked in the door and they're building this power plant right in everybody's yard. And the whole TV, the whole community out there at Ashland City, Cheatham County, like everyone's up in a tizzy about it. And, but they're doing great work. There's a lot of pushback from the community. I went to one of the city council meetings and it's really sad and really frustrating that it's even happening. I had Will on my show. If anybody watching is interested, if you go back, it's probably, close to probably a year now, but Will Halsey was my guest and, he's my buddy. He came on, he's, you know, taking kind of an activist role in resisting all of that stuff out there. But the one city council meeting I went to, they had a rep from the TVA there. And this is why I keep saying we're not big fans of TVA, because he was kind of just like dismissive about the whole thing. It was just like, you know, you can protest all you want, but it's not going to do anything. Like, we're still going to do it. Like, it was just like that kind of attitude. And the one thing that he did say that kind of stood out to me was he said, You know that the federal government has just issued some proclamation that like 75% of vehicles need to be electric by the year 2030, right? And he's like, where do you think all that electricity is going to come from? And it's like, yeah, you got to build a bunch of new power plants in order for it to happen. And that's like, that was the mind blowing thing. And it's like, you see memes all the time. At least I see memes all the time where it's like, you know, the people that are so huge on this whole electric car thing, thinking they're saving the universe, don't fundamentally understand that, well, that electricity has to come from somewhere. And it's usually like a coal plant or a methane plant, or, you know, we're not at the point now where we can like have these massive solar farms and do that and power and provide. I mean, maybe we can. Do you think that's a fair alternative? Do you think just having massive solar farms instead of these power plants, do you think that that's a viable solution? Or do you think we'll get to that point maybe with the technology?
I think that, I mean, they're definitely, you see, I mean, you can see them coming up, and also there's wind is coming. And yeah. I mean, I subscribe. There's Energy News letter. I get that all the time. Okay. And it talks about the new projects coming up. And I mean, you know, it's not all, I mean, it's definitely a push pull. I mean, there's going to be a gap, you know, there's going to be a gap where the need, I mean, we're already using so much. I mean, we haven't had to have the brownouts and stuff that have had in the past, like California hasn't had to have the brownouts because of all the solar covered during the heat waves. Mm-hmm. So there was like a little bit of a catching up to that. But now that we're adding more with the cars and everything, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's poor planning or if it's all strategic, you know, to try to get people wedged into, you know, we're just so dependent on it. You know, what can we do? We're so dependent on it. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, except what can we do as individuals to have our own power, to have our own freedom as much as we can. That's, you know, that's kind of where my stand is what can I do on my, you know, where I'm at, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so you're doing good work helping people gain that independence. And like, gosh, I might have to look into this myself. I'm like, I just moved to this house and I'm like, okay, we need to figure something out here in terms of this. So I'm going to talk to the property owner maybe and see what's going on with all this solar stuff, because it seems like a pretty good deal to me. So now you were saying that this is all over, like you're based in Tennessee, but you can help people nationwide. Wherever they're at, nationwide yeah. US, right? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, except for the four states that South Dakota, Alabama, Tennessee, I'm trying to think what the other fourth one is that are not very solar friendly, where it just doesn't seem like it pays. So, I mean, people would have to be committed to like, okay, this is not going to, in most cases, it reduces your electric bill or eliminates it. In Tennessee, you know, for residential, it makes it go up. But for small business, it's nationwide. I can help anybody small business. They can get assistance. So
beautiful. I want to show you this too. This is the whole electric vehicle debacle in a single photo right here. So this is on my Instagram, folks. Rebunk News. If you want to come follow me on Instagram, come hang out. I'm dropping memes and stuff all day. But look at this. All right, for those of you listening, it's the new Tesla truck, which is hauling a giant diesel generator at the gas station, and they're filling up the diesel generator with gasoline. And so in order to power your brand new fancy Tesla truck, you need to haul around literally a gas powered generator in order to power your vehicle. So
just in case,
or you can circumvent all of this and just put the gas powered engine inside your vehicle and just kind of go from there. You know what I mean? Like that technology has actually been invented already, which is really fascinating.
So. And that's what we say, like with the cost of the batteries right now for solar storage, like just buy a gas generator, you know, it's going to be a lot less expensive. If your reason for going solar is you want to, you know, if you have a lot of power outages and you're trying to like just have power all the time. Maybe you have a medical reason or whatever. A gas generator is much more cost effective for now. Next 3 years, I think the batteries are going to be like the panels, you know, the technology and the prices. Technology is going to go up. Price is going to come down for the battery. But for the next couple of years, just buy a gas generator.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So now, so another cool thing that as we're kind of like winding down here, one of the cool things that we were talking about when we met was a lot of this work was inspired and has kind of carried forward into some of your nonprofit work. So you do like a lot of nonprofit work in Africa. Can you tell us some about this? Like, this is so amazing. And I was trying to pull up, is that website down as well? No, that one's up.
It's letsmakethedifference.org. And that's where the LMTD comes from. It's not limited. It's actually Let's Make the Difference.
Okay. I must have typed it wrong in the episode description here.
It's .org too, maybe.
Yeah, I typed in .org. I'm just kind of
Let's Make the Difference.
Go ahead and tell us about it while I figure out how to pull it up.
It all started 5 years ago next week, actually.
Wow, it's congratulations.
Our 5-year anniversary. Thank you. And my life partner, Bill, and I like to travel a lot. We sold everything in 2013 and did 2 years around South America. And then we actually settled in Tennessee because of my mom was declining. And but he was disabled, so he traveled. And we always had a commitment to impact wherever we were. We always looked for a place to volunteer. We looked for people that were making a difference in their communities. And actually in 2019, he decided to take a trip to Africa. I was taking a course. And so he went to Africa. He was mentoring some teachers there. And April 12th, he had a grand mal seizure and died of a stroke while he was in Zambia, Africa. Sorry. And so thank you. On the plane home, I realized my last promise to him was that I would help these teachers and help do fundraisers and raise money. And so I decided to go ahead and start this nonprofit. So we actually were involved in self-development programs, and it really had a huge impact on our life. You know, always in the conversation about how can I take my life to the next level? Like, where am I playing small? That's like a question we can ask ourselves every day, right?
I like that. Where am I playing small?
Where am I playing small? And where can I take my life to the next level?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like actually the whole trip around South America was created in the seminar. Like, what dreams have you put on the shelf? And take one down and commit to it. And so that was one that I always wanted to travel. And it was like, it seemed like an impossible dream, but we just figured it out and did it, you know? So anyway, so I started the nonprofit. We've put about 268 people through a variety of courses. There's 5 separate courses, about 80 of them are women that we put through the African Women's Leadership course through the University of Zambia. And so I got into solar actually inquiring about getting solar for this school. And it turned out it was so cost prohibitive. The transport of the panels was like $150,000.
Yeah, that's right. You were telling me about this too. Like if anywhere in the world could have solar and thrive, you think it'd be Africa, because allegedly they have lots of sun there, like
98% of the time. So it's coming, but anyway, I stumbled onto solar in that inquiry.
Wow.
And someone said, you know, solar's an emerging industry right now. It's ripe and it is expanding exponentially. It really has been. So I thought, yeah, I could get behind that. So I did a career change.
That's amazing.
I was an interior designer for 20 years and then got certified as a life coach. And when my husband died, I kind of just went, whoa, I don't feel equipped to do that, you know, and then launched the nonprofit. And then the solar thing came and I thought, I'm committed to helping people. period. How can I help them, right? Financially, you know, in empowering them and leadership. So that's, you know, however I can see that I can make a difference. I mean, that's it. And one of the things I want to create that's on the planning for maybe later this year or next year is called the LMTD Global Network of Nonprofits, because I get not everybody cares about the refugees and the people in Africa. And I mean, I don't mean don't care about them, but like it doesn't motivate them enough to get out of their chair. But everybody has something. If we could trip that wire, you know, if we could pique that interest, like, because for some people it's animals. Like, oh, I would do anything to help poor abandoned animals so that they're not put down. And other people, it's cleaning the beaches. We need people to clean the beaches. We need people to save the whales. We need people to teach children, you know, to make sure that they can read and write. All these different nonprofits, we don't need to compete. There's plenty of money out there. We need volunteers. We need people to find their passion and to move towards that. And what's the beauty of it is that that's where true fulfillment is in finding where to contribute. So that's my next thing. I'm hoping to launch that next year. I did do an event where we just had different nonprofits come on and pitch their purpose and their impact and see who we could move and, you know, inspire. Like, people want to be inspired. You know, they want to feel bigger than themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah. Where am I playing small, and where can I make my life bigger?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a huge. I mean, it seems like, and you know what? The other thing is, we need people over in Africa doing the right thing for the right reasons. There's a lot of people over there that are utilizing Africa as. And they don't have the best intentions. Like, we all know the Bill Gates like saga where he goes over there with these polio vaccines. And now all of the polio that's in existence over there is from the vaccines, according to like the Associated Press and Reuters. They're like, yeah, Bill Gates went over there and gave it like all of Africa back, you know, polio. So, but they're over there just like, and then we, it's carnage over there.
You want to hear something ironic is I saw a video back COVID in 2020 from the 1970s with Jimmy Carter and Bill Gates passing out ivermectin to children in Africa.
Where was this?
They're saying, I wish I could find it. It was 1975, something like that. And they were both saying like this drug is like world changing. This could end all disease. There was grown men with river blindness that had been blind their whole lives, that with ivermectin, it cured them. And actually I mean, ivermectin is still distributed widely across.
Oh yeah.
That, and do you know, COVID hardly touched them at all.
Yep. We know all about that. And they weren't really into the whole shots either. So.
Yep. Yep. They didn't need it because they already had immunity. So
that's hilarious. Well, if you come across that again, let me know.
Oh man, I have wished and wished that I had somehow saved it. It was brilliant.
So crazy. Yeah, these people. So anyway.
If you find that, make sure you send it to Scott.
Yeah, and I'll pass it off to Wendy for sure. You know, so yeah, it's just sad. Like, you know, Africa is just exploited for their natural resources. And it's just like, you know, the people are test subjects. And it's just like, it's just such a tragedy.
Well, that's why I feel like that any kind of change or transformation is not going to happen from the top down. No. We've got to empower leadership from grassroots.
Yeah.
If people can start impacting their communities, my leaders they planted 600 trees in the refugee camps there in Kakuma and Kalabei. Right now, there's some horrible things going on where they've really reduced the amount of food. I mean, the refugees get $17 a month for food and they just cut it back to $7. And there's mass suicide, there's robberies, there's rioting. Everybody's on lockdown. It's really hard times right now for the people in the refugee camps there in in Africa. I don't know who to write. I'm like, who do we tell? Who do we complain to make that difference? But I feel like the leadership, we're all here in the US, like, what do we need? We need leaders. We need leadership, right? So that's kind of my efforts for making the difference is just who can I empower to, you know, to have a voice where they don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Well, you know, it's like, it's up to like, it's like that Mr. Beast guy. Have you heard of this guy?
Mr. Beast?
Like he's yes. over there, like doing all this stuff, like in Africa, like building wells. And
yeah, he's brilliant. I love to follow him. I followed him a little bit. He's like brilliant.
There you go. You know, there's a market for that. You know what I mean? Like he's figured out how to monetize, you know, charity in a very interesting way, which is a very interesting thing to, you know, and I've heard some interesting takes on the guy as an individual, but that's okay. We won't get all conspiratorial. Yeah, yeah. Like but that particular one is really interesting. And it just kind of shows how, and I've heard like rappers, you know, like I can't remember who it was, like some famous rappers known for like giving like solar to or wells to a bunch of, you know, villages in Africa, stuff like that. And it's like, it's within our grasp to do, you know, if we really wanted to actually help.
Yeah, people, there's money you know? Out there. There's plenty of money in the world. It just has to be channeled or, you know, it has to be the problem needs to be packaged in a way where there's a benefit, right? For people to actually see, like, we can solve this. If you think about it, refugees, so the Kakuma and Kalabaya in Uganda, there, all those are, I think it's like 700,000 people. It's not like a small amount of people that are refugees there. That's a huge untapped workforce that's available. If they had internet, our biggest problem there is that they don't have any internet. And internet costs a refugee $10 a day. I told you what they have to live on, right? So our biggest expense. Hey, welcome back.
I told you it was going to happen. You know
what? I just kept talking. So
that was great. I did the exact thing I said I wasn't going to do. I was trying to move my thing over. So
yeah.
So, people in the audience, you know, I spilled water on my laptop and now it's wigging out. So if I.
He warned me, though. He warned me.
I warned Wendy that she may be in charge of the show if my. It just like indiscriminately out of nowhere closes my stupid web browser, which is not. Now I got to buy it. I just bought this damn computer, like a brand new MacBook Pro. Now I got to freaking get another one or something. Like it just pisses me off. So don't put your water next to your laptop or your coffee or your beer or anything. Don't put it next to your laptop because it'll ruin your life.
Yeah, especially don't carry it in your bag. One of my friends had the. Oh, it was my daughter-in-law, her water bottle in her bag with her computer.
Oh,
and it leaked. No. Yeah.
Now I'm in massive amounts of pain right now, so I don't know what to do. So
anyhow, so yeah, what I was saying, I don't know if you were logged on somewhere else, but the refugees are a huge untapped workforce, labor force. If they have internet, they have time. A lot of them are skilled. I was surprised. I had this perception that refugees weren't educated, and that's just not true. There are a lot of educated refugees out there, and there's a lot of people that are willing to work. So anyway, it's just
well, I need people to make clips for my show. Like maybe I can like
yeah, right.
Maybe yeah. Editing. There you go. All right. Well, shoot, right. Wendy, this is freaking great. Awesome. Yeah, like such good information. So just tell us one more time. If people want to learn any, whether they're rural, residential, commercial, whatever the case may be, anywhere in the United States, like how can they reach out to you to learn more? And just if they, like you guys, if you have questions, like if you have like any questions, or if it's like, if you're like, just it's kind of percolating in the back of your mind, like, this is interesting. Just reach out and ask Wendy and then she'll obviously very knowledgeable.
Reach me is LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. Okay. You can look up LMTD Solar on LinkedIn or.
I'll be sure to include that in the episode description as well. So
yeah, that's an easy way. Or my email is huffman.wendy@gmail.
Okay.
That's easy. Or info@lmtdsolar.com. That works.
info@lmtdsolar. Okay, cool. I'll include all that in the episode description. And if you guys are watching this in the future, the website should be back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
this has been so fun. I appreciate you, Scott.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you coming on as well and indulging me with some of my more conspiratorial rants there. So anyway, it's awesome. I'm
right there with you. So.
Okay, good, 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 good. And of course, everybody make sure Music in Sky, click the episode description in the link below or click the link in the episode description below. They'll take you here. Come hang out. Wendy, you should come. Music in Sky, Northern California, June 20th, 24th.
It's my birthday.
Oh, it is. Well, happy pre-birthday. But yeah, guys. So that's the big thing I want to shout out. Oh, of course, the Unjected shop. Come get your Unjected swag at unjectedswag.com. So there you go. I got my Unjected hat right here. You can get one of those yourself. So, all right, guys. Thank you all for tuning in. Next week, we got Zoe Smith, the medical coder whistleblower, is coming back fresh off the Alex Jones show. So she was just on with Alex Jones, I think, Tuesday. Thanks to me, of course. But no, I mean, I'll take a little bit of credit because what happened was is that Zoe went on a Children's Health Defense interview and they posted it. It kind of went viral a little bit. Alex Jones retweeted it and he tweeted, said, I didn't find this lady. Someone put me in touch with this lady. So I texted Rob Dew, the senior producer, my buddy over at InfoWars. I'm like, hey, I know you're trying to get a hold of my friend Zoe. And so he's like, thanks. And then they're booking. Now, the next thing you know, they're booking. And she told me that they said that they got her info from me. So I'm like, yeah, that's right. So there you go. So I thought that was funny. So I'm like, Zoe, you got to come back on my show now. I broke this story in 2021, her story about the medical coding nonsense that she uncovered around the COVID shots and all this stuff. Like she said, she's written a book about it. And it's like, so I broke that story. We had her first on my show in 2021. And now InfoWars is just picking it up 3 years later. So it's like, we're just way ahead of the curve over here, folks. And she's going to come back and give us the recap and everything. So next Thursday. Cool. So that'll be fun. So, all right, guys. Wendy, thank you again so much. And have a good evening. And we'll hopefully see you at the Make America's Free Again here soon.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds all right, good. Guys. Have a good night. Bye. Peace.